rest in my life. I desperately need peace, or I'm going to go mad. Some of you may already be mad. Quit nudging your spouses. Come on. But we desperately, so often, look for peace. We search for peace. For a moment, we think we've got peace, and then we discover that it doesn't last. It's like this Pickles cartoon. Look at this. Our anniversary is coming up. I was thinking of doing something special this year.
What did you have in mind?
Well, I was thinking of a trip to Hawaii.
Great idea. It'll give me a chance to catch up on my sleep while you're gone.
Some of you think that just a good rest will give you the peace you need. You just don't have peace like you had. You have occasions of peace, but you want lasting peace. I'm about to tell you how you can get it. Not how I think you can, but how I know you can. Peace is provided by knowing where to lean. And I invite you to turn to Romans chapter 5. Peace is provided by knowing where to lean. Romans chapter 5 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, one of the reasons that many people do not have peace with God is because they don't understand where to find it or how to get it or that they even can have it. There's so many different offers that appear daily in our life to give us peace, but there's only one right source that will. I mean, you can search everywhere and find every item, every book, every magazine article that talks about peace. But if you do not have Jesus Christ, the source of peace, you'll never have it. And I think that there are times where we're unsettled, or times where we're feeling just unsure, or things are happening in our life, that we forget to lean on the only source of peace that there is. See, we forget or we neglect to lean on the only source of peace, and that's Jesus Christ. It's not uncommon when we're disturbed, when we're stretched, when we're walking through a difficult moment in life, or even strife, that we look everywhere for the peace and forget the true peace that we can have. The Apostle Paul explains this in the Amplified Bible. I want to read it. It says, therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Now, that's a great promise. You can have peace today. For the Christian, there is no war, there's no fighting, there's no wrestling, there's no anger, there's no resentment, there's no past pain. The Christian should be free from all that and have peace from all that. But the truth is that there is no possibility, apart from the work of God in your heart, that you'll ever be able to have peace with God. Until you have peace with God, you're never going to be able to experience peace within yourself or with others, because peace with God is foundational in your life. You have to have the peace of God. Jesus said, my peace I leave with. Yes. Wonderful letter in the alphabet, U. Don't you enjoy that today? Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. It's yours. Take it. If you have made that declaration, that complete trust in Jesus Christ the Messiah, if you know where to lean only on Christ, then you have the peace of God available to you right now. Quit running around trying to find it. I've been in ministry just a couple of years. Well, a little longer than that. And I have not met anyone who has real peace who didn't get their peace from Almighty God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Real, genuine peace is a gift from God. And He wants you to have it. But have you taken it? In 1955, boy, that would have been a great date. In 1555, you're going to see why 1955 just won't work. Nicholas Ridley was burned at the stake. You see why 1955, some might have felt like doing it to some, but in 1555, Nicholas Ridley was burned at the stake because of his witness for Jesus Christ. And on the night before his execution, his brother came to him and to Nicholas, and he said, listen, he said, I'm going to come and I'm going to sit in your cell all night with you, and I'm going to come into the prison chamber, and I'm going to offer assistance to you. I'm going to comfort you. I'm going to be with you through tonight, and because you're being executed in the morning, you're going to be burned at the stake, and I can imagine what you're going through right now. And Nicholas turned to his brother, and true story, he said, no, you can't come to the prison chamber, because I'll be sleeping just like I've slept every other night. See, he knew the peace of God. See, he could rest in the strength of the everlasting arms of his Lord to meet his need. He didn't need his brother coming and sitting with him and keeping him awake all night. He wanted to get a good rest before he was executed and met the Lord. You see, there may be those on earth who dress better, who eat better, but those who enjoy the peace of God sleep better. How are you sleeping? I'm not going to take a vote this morning. If you have the peace of God, and you've taken it, you should be sleeping well. C.S. Lewis said it really well when he said, God cannot give us a happiness and peace apart from himself. Because it is not there, there's no such thing. You can't have peace without Him. There's no way. God is so desperate for us to have peace in this life right now that He placed, listen to this, He placed all of your guilt, all of your sin, all of your disobedience, all of your rebellion, all of your indifference, all of your doubt, all of your unbelief, all of your wickedness, all of your ill conduct, listen, everything that you've ever done wrong, He placed upon Christ at the cross to die in your place. And He did all of that. He carried all of that out of such a deep love for you so that you could have peace. It was this death, the death of the cross, that could only pay the debt that you and I deserved. He was the sacrifice. And that's why the Apostle Paul wrote this passage that, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've also obtained an introduction by faith into this grace where we stand now. Once you placed your trust in Jesus Christ, once you said to Him, I do believe You're the Son of God. I believe that You're the Savior. I'm confessing my sins. I know that I'm a rebel against You, Lord. I have violated Your law, violated Your principles. I'm unfit for heaven. I'm unfit to be accepted. I'm unlovable in my nature, sinful in my being. I am asking You, Lord, to forgive me of my sin, not based on my conduct, not based on my character, but based on Christ's sacrificial, all-sufficient, substitutionary death, which made it possible for me to come into Your presence, Lord. See, peace with God means we lay it all down. We lay it all down, our will, our control, everything. We lay it all down, and we say it's over by the will of God. It's done. And I don't know what you're carrying on your shoulders today, but if you've laid it all down, you don't need to carry anything on your shoulders today. You can't lay down and carry. You can't lay down and pick it up. You can't lay down and say, I still got a hold of it. You lay it down. That's when you get the peace. Jesus Christ is the King of Peace. Who have you placed on the throne? Because if he's the King of Peace, you should have peace if he's on the throne of your life. Well, peace is provided by knowing where to lean. Peace is also provided by knowing how to live. Now, look at this. It goes on. Verse 3. You're going to love this morning, early today. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. I told you you'd love this. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he's given us. Now, you know, it's interesting when somebody's going through a really difficult time, a time where they just don't know anymore, and you're talking to them, it might be in the hospital, it might be sitting by the bed of a loved one who's ill, it might be talking about your family, your children, your finances, and you hear these words, if I only had hope. It's right in here. We don't like getting to this part. Sufferings produce perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. We just want to jump through all the hoops to get to the hope. We don't want the perseverance, let alone the suffering. We don't want the character stuff. Lord, if I could just live a shallow life, it would be so great. Lord, I want hope, but I don't want any of the other stuff that comes with it, okay? Lord, I want peace and contentment in my life. You know what? When you're going through suffering, when you're going through the perseverance, when you're going through the character, when you achieve the hope, there's nothing like peace at that place. And how many of us really like these verses? I mean, how many of us really enjoy suffering? We don't. But we sure want to be a character at times. Oh, come on. We sure want the hope. We sure want to persevere. We don't want to suffer. I encourage you to read over these words and over and over and over and over again and post them on your fridge, make a magnet out of them, memorize them. The very word of God is going to give you the peace you need to make it through the days where you're really suffering. The Amplified Bible puts it this way, moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patient and unswerving endurance. And endurance, fortitude, develops maturity of character, approved faith, and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us, for God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's given to us. God's love is poured out in our hearts. Now, these are such words of encouragement to me. I mean, they give me such hope for my future. God's love is pouring out as I walk through the struggles. God's love provides the endurance I need. God's love develops my character. God loves me so much that he is not willing to send me into a journey without him carrying me through so that I can regain hope and joy when I walk. And that's peace. That's how much love God has for you, that he is not willing to let you just stay the way you are. You may feel that at times he doesn't even hear you anymore. You may think, God, where are you in all of this? It's like in Jerusalem, a CNN journalist heard about a very old Jewish man who'd been going to the Wailing Wall. He would go there to pray twice a day, every day, long, long time he'd been doing this. So she went and she thought, I'm going to check this out. This is newsworthy. So she went to the Wailing Wall and there he was. And she watched him pray, and after about 45 minutes, when he turned to leave, she approached him for an interview, and she said, I'm Rebecca Smith from CNN. Sir, how long have you been coming to this wall and praying? And he said, well, I've been doing it for about 60 years. 60 years, she said, that's amazing. She said, I can't believe it. What do you pray for? He said, well, I pray for world peace. He says that all the people throughout the world, no matter the religious faith, would be at peace. I pray for all the hatred to stop. And I pray for all our children to grow up in safety and friendship. And the journalist then asked Rebecca Smith, she said, how do you feel after doing this for 60 years? How do you feel about coming to this wall and praying for that peace for 60 years? And the Jewish man, he scratched under his hat and he said, well, pretty much like I'm talking to a wall. You may feel like you're talking to a wall. Some of you recently may feel that way, that there's unrest in your life, and some of you have had unrest for months, maybe even years, and you just feel like you're not being heard anymore. Listen, God loves you so much, his love's pouring out for you. Get your eyes off yourself long enough to see who he is. Because God will wear you out. Listen. Listen very carefully. God will wear you out. He loves you so much that he will put roadblock after roadblock in your way to help you to stop, look at yourself, and acknowledge what's going on, and turn your heart, your focus, your pain, your hurt, your joy. If you keep jumping over the roadblocks, it may be even our time here this morning. This might be a roadblock for you. This could be a roadblock for you today, telling you to say, stop, surrender everything finally to God. No holding back that pain, no holding back that hurt. Pride stops you from giving to God. Let go of everything into the hands of Christ. That means that you can't work the outcome. It means that you can't plan what is going to be the right plan for your life. Because, you see, if you give God the privilege of blessing you, and making you into the person that he wants you to be, then he's going to do what he needs to give you the hope that you require, and that involves some suffering. But anger and bitterness toward God, it'll just stop you in your tracks and prevent you from moving forward. That's what it is. It's a spiritual roadblock, stronger than any other. Because anger closes the door to the only one who can help you, the only one who can heal you, the only one to comfort you as you walk through difficult trials. See, peace is not the absence of affliction. Peace is the presence of God. We have the peace today. The peace that only God can give. Mary Brainerd said, I would rather walk with God in the dark than go alone in the light. When we lay them down, put them in his hands, he puts his peace in our hearts. Remember, if you lay it down, you can no longer hold on to it. When you lay it down, all that stuff, you no longer get tired carrying it. Have you laid it down today? Are you free today? Are you free? Are you free from the hurt, from the pain, from the past? You can't live in the past and move on to the future. Are you angry at God? Maybe it's time to finally say, hey, I can't be angry anymore. I've got to trust in you, God. God knows exactly where you're at, and He knows where you're walking. He knows where you've walked, and He finds such pleasure in you, says Colossians. He finds such pleasure in you. You think of it. God says to you, Jesus Christ said, take my peace. Just take it. You think of it. When you call out to Him and you request it, you not only receive the benefit of peace for Christ, you're also presented before the Father, holy in His sight, without blemish, says Colossians, whole, washed, cleansed, free from accusation. Free from accusation. You know what that means? Being free. You're no longer accused or held responsible for anything. Isn't that great? As a kid, we always wanted to make sure we weren't the ones responsible. The work of the cross is that you are holy, you're blameless before the Father. That's the work of a peacemaking God who desires that you and I have the peace that surpasses all human understanding. The battle between God and Satan is happening. But if you do not choose God, then you are God's enemy. But through Christ, choose Him. When you choose God, the war is over, the battle's done, and we give up and we say, Lord, I want to have peace with you. I lay it down. All the stuff that's been getting in the way so that I can have peace with you. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Let's pray. While your heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning, let me just ask you some questions. Is there peace between you and your Heavenly Father? Maybe are you insisting on having it your own way? Have you just stroked the church off your list? Maybe you've even laid your Bible aside that somebody gave you a long time ago. Maybe you've never even read it. Have you decided you're going to believe those who've told you that the Bible's full of errors, because what that did is made it absolutely unimportant to you, which helped your conscience so that you could live in sin and do your own thing in life? Let me ask you a question. Do you have peace with God? You said no. I know the answer to that question, because there's only one way that we can have peace with God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And only when you have declared your trust in Christ completely, totally, with everything, only then will you have peace. That means that you believe Him when He says you're made holy. You believe Him when He says you're without blemish. If you have trusted Him for everything in your life, you're free from accusation. You're free. But you have to lay it all down. You have to lay the stuff that you keep picking up, the stuff you want to control, the stuff you want to handle. You got to lay it down. The suffering that you're walking through, you got to lay it down. You got to lay it down and accept His peace today, because it is provided for you. Father, thank you for the peace that's provided through your Son, Jesus Christ. And what a futile waste of time we put in our life as we search for comfort and we search for joy and we search to get rid of our suffering and we search to get rid of our pain and search to overcome our past. All you ask is that we just come and lay it all before you and accept your peace. It's already been provided. We just need to take it. And Lord, while we know that we're going to continue to walk through sufferings because we're here on this earth, Lord, we're going to keep walking through those moments where we don't like. But we can't walk with those moments and through those moments without you. And we need your peace today. And we know, Lord, as we come to this table, it represents what you walked through for us, the suffering you walked through, so that you could understand when we suffer, so that we could also understand that you're the giver of peace. You're the King of peace. And Lord, I ask everybody right now in this room, I ask, Lord, that you would bless them with your peace today. And may they take it. To you be the glory and the honor. And all God's people said, amen. I'll ask the elders to prepare the Lord's table. This is the Lord's table. The love for God was so great that Jesus came into this world to be the love of God for us, to extend that peace that he talked about. That's why he came. He came to say, my peace I leave with you. We have his peace. His love was so great for us and so true that he was willing to go to the cross to register that love, that peace. The love that we gather this morning to celebrate. This table is God's table. It's open to all those who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We come to this table prepared because we have sought him in worship. We've praised him for the many blessings he has given us. And we've fellowshiped together and encouraged one another. And so we come prepared to partake at this table. As we partake of the bread, let us praise God for our Savior's humanity, in which he became visible and tangible on earth.
Dear Heavenly Father, by your death we have peace. And by your death we have life eternal. Lord, we thank you for this bread, a symbol of your body that died on the cross for our sins. In your name, amen.
we read from the Word of God. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." As we partake of the contents of the cup, let us thank God for his substitutionary and sacrificial death upon the cross for us.
Heavenly Father, we come to you and thank you for your suffering that you did on the cross. Thank you, Lord, that you gave your all, your whole life, so that we could be redeemed. And even as in the wedding of the Old Testament times where the man, the groom, gave the cup to his bride, and as she drank it, she said, "I'm all yours." And I pray, Lord, that even as we take up this cup this morning, that we would be able to say, "I'm all yours for the rest of my life." In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace.
We read further on in 1 Corinthians. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat the bread and drink from the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen.
Sing together the third verse.
The Lord has promised good to me, his word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God who called me here below will be forever mine. Will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Amen. Rest of worship ministry, would you come? The Lord has been faithful to us. Amen. He is a great and awesome God.
Faithful one, so unchanging, ageless one, you're my rock of peace. Lord of all, I depend on you. I call out to you again and again. I call out to you again and again.
Let's stand before the Rock of Ages.
You are my rock in times of trouble. You lift me up when I fall down. Your love is the anchor. My hope is in you alone. Faithful one, so unchanging. Ageless one, you're my rock of peace. Lord of all, I depend on you. I call out to you again and again. I call out to you again and again. You are my rock in times of trouble. You lift me up when I fall down. All through the storm, your love is the anchor. My hope is in you
Your love is the anchor. Your love is the anchor. My hope is in you alone. Praise be to God for the good things He has done in our lives. In Christ's name, amen.